yesterday's attacks and other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
A major upheaval in the power structure of the House of Saud. King Salman has promoted his 31-year-old son Mohammed, putting him just one step from the throne. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, with a reputation of recklessness, is now viewed as the de facto ruler of the oil-rich monarchy given his father's questionable health. Some call Mohammed the minister of everything, because the king has given him carte blanche in state affairs and foreign policy decisions. But his performance over the past 2 years has raised serious concerns about the future course of the kingdom. Mohammed's hawkish policies have already dispelled disasters for the region and brought the kingdom some of its most embarrassing failures in decades. Saudi Arabia was founded in 1932 by Abdulaziz ibn Saud, who became the kingdom's first monarch. The extremist Wahhabi ideology has been state-sanctioned under the rule of the Saudi monarchs. Soon after his rise to power, ibn Saud sealed a deal with then-US President Franklin Roosevelt for American protection of his fledgling kingdom in exchange for cheap oil. Ever since, the House of Saud has held a monopoly of power and does not allow any form of political dissent. Ibn Saud has been succeeded by six of his sons who have mostly ruled during the final years of their lives. Salman bin Abdulaziz, who is the incumbent king, took power in 2015. The octogenarian has departed from decades of tradition regarding power transfer and recently named his favorite son Mohammed as crown prince. In doing so, the king sidelined many older members of the royal family. To promote his son, the king fired Mohammed bin Nayef, one of his nephews who served as crown prince and interior minister. Salman's controversial appointment has been described by many as a coup because he has defied the system of succession that usually runs from brother to brother, not father to son. Ousted bin Nayef was quick to pledge allegiance to the novice as he had no other choice.
There is no challenge option. There is no dissent option in the House of Saud. When the king decides, everyone salutes. Mohammed bin Salman increasingly got more and more positions. He got the nickname Mr. Everything in the Saudi government because his hands was in everything. From the time Mohammed bin Salman was promoted to deputy crown prince, that his father wanted at some point to move him up.
Speculation is, however, rife about growing discontent among older royals regarding how things are going on the leadership level. Mohammed bin Salman was born in August 1985 in Jeddah to Salman and his third wife. He completed his primary education in Riyadh and took a degree in law from King Saud University. In 2009, he became Salman's special advisor. His father was the governor of the capital Riyadh at the time. Mohammed bin Salman became the Saudi defense chief in January 2015. Mohammed also serves as chairman of the Council for Economic and Development Affairs and the House of Saud Royal Court. As bin Salman takes charge of more affairs in Riyadh, he is perhaps realizing that the most pressing foreign policy problems facing him are the result of his own hawkish stances and miscalculations over the past 2 years. Take the war in Yemen, for instance. Soon after he became defense minister, bin Salman rushed into war in neighboring Yemen without a clear exit strategy. He sought to reinstate close Saudi ally former President Abdurrabbuh Mansur Hadi and defeat Ansarullah fighters. The Saudi defense minister had predicted a victory in 2 months. Well over 2 years have passed and the Saudi war machine is stuck in Yemen with none of the stated goals fulfilled. The war and the Saudi blockade on Yemen have instead caused a humanitarian catastrophe there.
There are not only thousands and thousands of innocent people that have been killed, but it is a catastrophic famine-like situation because there are millions of children now who are severely malnourished. There is a cholera epidemic because the water system has been destroyed, as well as clinics and hospitals. And this catastrophe in Yemen could never have happened were it not for the U.S. support, not just weapons, but providing all the maintenance for these weapons, refueling the bombers up in the air.
Saudi Arabia has been funneling cash and arms into Syria since the conflict erupted in 2011, years before King Salman took the helm. But the kingdom stepped up its lethal support to militants in Syria since 2015, when Salman took power and appointed his son as the defense chief. The intensified push to oust President Bashar al-Assad backfired, with Damascus asking for further help from Russia and Iran. The Syrian army has gained the upper hand in strategic areas countrywide, practically sending Saudi plans and heavy spending in the country up in the smoke. The battle in Syria is another tough challenge for the ambitious crown prince. Aggressive Saudi policies, mostly devised by bin Salman himself, have antagonized a key regional ally, Qatar. Doha has been pursuing increasingly independent foreign policies. Qatar is a member of the Saudi-led Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, but has refused to be bullied by other member states into following their orders. For instance, much to the dislike of autocrats in Riyadh, Doha has developed friendly ties with key regional player Iran. Saudi Arabia and its allies have imposed a land, sea, and air blockade on Qatar in a bid to push the country into submission. But Qatar, which has the world's third largest gas reserves, has so far stood the pressure. The deepening rift in the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council has emerged as another big dilemma for the crown prince.
There's nothing really holding these people together. There's no real trade between them. It's basically oil and tourism from abroad. So I think that the GCC countries may not last too long if they keep this hardline approach up.
Saudi Arabia is the world's largest crude oil exporter. Its bottomless pit of petrodollars has been hit hard in recent years amid lower crude prices, which fell from more than $100 a barrel in 2014 to $30 last year and remain well under $50. A new analysis shows net foreign assets at the Central Bank of Saudi Arabia is projected to plunge this year. The analysis shows the kingdom's weakening ability to support its currency. The falling oil prices have made it more difficult for Riyadh to keep commoners at home satisfied, buy allies abroad, and press on with overt and covert interventions in Yemen, Syria, Bahrain, and elsewhere. The House of Saud dreams of leading the Muslim world. Ironically, it has shown unprecedented aggressiveness toward regional Muslim nations like Yemen, Qatar, and Iran. Saudi rulers have instead found a supportive ally in U.S. President Donald Trump. During his recent trip to the Middle East, the U.S. president signed a massive arms deal with the Saudis, stepped up his anti-Iran rhetoric, and did not even bring up the issue of Saudi human rights violations. The new crown prince seems especially keen on further deepening ties with the Trump administration.
The Saudis have fallen in love with Donald Trump, largely because they fell out of love with Barack Obama. Barack Obama sold Saudi Arabia over $100 billion worth of arms, but he famously threw Hosni Mubarak under the bus during the Arab Spring, and the Saudis completely soured on that. He talked about human rights and gender equality and learning to live with the Iranians. Donald Trump is the antithesis of all of that, and the Saudis see in Donald Trump a man who's not going to raise issues of human rights, gender equality, who believes that Iran is the source of all evil, just as they do. I think they've discovered also over the course of the last 5 months that they have a lot of things in common. They like gold niching. They like flattery. They like no dissent. They like no questions from the media.
Meanwhile, recent reports suggest that Persian Gulf Arab states led by Saudi Arabia are cozying up to Israel as part of clandestine efforts to form an anti-Iran alliance in the region. And in doing so, they apparently view Trump as a mediator. There are now growing fears that the dangerous policies adopted by the al-Saud royals, especially the new faces, are threatening to take the kingdom into uncharted territory and further destabilize the Middle East region.